that faith at all? And Scripture actually echoes that same question. So I wanted to spend one more week and kind of revisit an illustration that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to ask you a question. How do you grow? Like, how do you grow? You read the Bible, right? You do things that put yourself in a place of tension. So I'm trying to get in better shape. Does that work by me binging on Netflix? Like finding a really good series and just sitting down and devouring the whole series over the course of a couple days? Like, does that get me to the place where I'm in better shape? That'd be awesome if it did. But it doesn't, ironically. So we get to this place where, like, we want to grow. We want to grow specifically in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus. But sometimes we act like growth just happens by sitting down and watching something, instead of actually putting that faith into action. I mean, in any other area of life, if I want to get more in shape, I have to do things like go and run, go and lift weights. I have to eat healthier. There's all these steps that I have to take to start becoming more healthy. If you want to learn a new skill at a job, you match what you're doing, and you match it with experience, and you match it with actually learning about that skill. Like, we know this is part of life. We know that what you know, what you believe, has to be paired with some sort of action for there to be some sort of growth. So, when it comes to church and comes to being a Christian, I used this analogy a couple weeks ago, but it was that of the African impala. And the African impala, it can jump 13 feet in the air, and it can jump 30 feet far in distance. So it could probably jump from this stage out those doors and keep on running. But in Africa, there's a zoo that the impala is in its cage, which is a 3-foot wall. And it's raised to be in that cage, which isn't a cage at all, it's just a 3-foot wall. But it's fascinating because the impala won't jump out because it can't see where it's going to jump. It won't jump because it doesn't know what's on the other side of that 3-foot wall. Which seems utterly ridiculous to me, does it not? Almost as ridiculous as saying, I want to get in shape, I want to get ripped, so I'm going to binge on Netflix. Like, it seems ridiculous that this thing that can jump 13 feet in the air and 30 feet in distance won't leave a cage that is surrounded by a 3-foot wall. How often does that happen in our lives? How often does that happen? We say, I don't want to do this because this little obstacle is in the way and I can't see what's on the other side of it. Right? I don't want to make this job change because I'm safe here, I'm comfortable here, this place is known. But if I go over here, it's unknown. It's going to take some faith to get there. Or maybe it's relationally. You're sitting there going, man, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm starving for community, I'm starving for relationships, but I'm anxious and nervous every time I go to ask somebody to hang out. I'm scared of rejection, I don't want to be in that awkward space where you're just building a new relationship or friendship, or I feel anxious going to this group, I feel anxious going to serve. There's all these things, and you're going, this 3-foot wall of being anxious and nervous and all those feelings that go along with that is standing in the way of deeper community. It's standing in the way. And really what we're talking about is faith, right? Does the impala have the faith to make the jump, even though it's fully capable? That's what it's designed to do by God, to jump far so it can get away from enemies. Does it have the faith to take a leap over that 3-foot wall that it can't see on the other side? Do you and I have the faith to take a leap over that 3-foot wall that's standing in our way. And then a question is, what does it look like to take that leap? For some of us, we're in the middle of this, right? You're in the middle of some life decision, of some relationship where you're sitting there and going, there's a 3-foot wall right there, and I am scared to jump over it. I don't know what's on the other side. Maybe it's relationally, maybe it's with a job, maybe it's with family stuff. You know, whatever it is for you, fill it in the blank and try to figure out, why am I nervous, afraid, anxious to take a leap of faith? In a simple definition of faith, faith is trusting in things that are unseen, right? And I like this illustration because there's no chairs up here. Did you guys ever see these deacon seats up here? These are amazing. They just fold out of the wall right there. But that might make this illustration better. So you think of a chair, right? A chair is meant to hold you. Like, how many of you walked in today and inspected the pew that you were sitting in? One person. It's good. It's good. You might need some help. But most of us just blindly walk in. We see chairs here, and we go, that chair should hold us. Right? Like any other place I walk in, I'm able to sit down. I don't think twice, unless it's really rickety and raggedy looking, but I don't think twice on whether a chair could hold me. It requires faith to sit down in the chair. Right? Like, you don't even think about it, but it required faith for you to sit down in the pew that you were sitting in this morning. That's what faith is. Walking up to something and going, I don't know if this can hold me. I don't know, like, this should be able to hold me. And then sitting and actually taking a seat. Faith is paired with some sort of action. That's faith lived out. So you walk up to a situation, and you could take our journey with planting this church, and you walk up to it and you go, man, God, I feel like you're moving, and you keep kind of leading us to this spot where, like, you're calling us to plant a church. There was a very tangible moment in my mind when I was standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes. And I said, okay, God, I will take the leap over the 3-foot wall, even though I have no idea what's on the other side. And I will take that leap and trust. Because just like I sit down in the chair and I go, man, I know that chair is going to hold me. Like, unless something's weird or something's broken, like, I know that'll hold me. I know God, Jesus, will hold me and catch me and provide. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that when you take that leap, Jesus will provide? Jesus will catch you. So a question that I love to think about and ask is, what would Jesus think about your faith? Like, in any given situation that you're in any challenge, in any 3-foot wall that you walk up against that you know Jesus is calling you to jump over, what would Jesus think about your faith? Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. It'll also be on the screen. But in Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus in very, very early stages of his ministry. And in Mark chapter 6, it begins and it says, Jesus left and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him was amazed. So he was walking around teaching in the synagogue, teaching in the religious centers, and people were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that he's been given? And he even does miracles. Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and Mary's and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now, how many of you have come up to that 3-foot wall and you know Jesus is calling you to something, but everybody around you starts to question Everybody around you starts to doubt. Everybody around you goes, you can't do that. I know you. That's not who you are. You're not skilled enough. You're not wise enough. You're not strong enough. I think we've all been in those situations where we come up against the 3-foot wall and everybody around us sits there and begins to doubt. Right? This happened to Jesus. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, in his own house is a prophet without honor. So anybody have any family trips coming up this summer? Yeah, so take this verse, like tuck it back in your back pocket, because in your own home, among your own family, among your own relatives, you may be a prophet, but there's a good chance you won't have any honor. I don't know why that happens or how that happens or how to get over that, but that's just the truth, and it's what Jesus came up against. Jesus, he said he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. This question of what would Jesus think about your faith? He was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus just finished saying all these things and hearing the people, he entered Capernaum. There is a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and was about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to ask him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation, has built our synagogue, our church. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends and he said, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you under my roof. And I know, because this is the way I operate, but if you say he's healed, you can just heal him like that. He goes, I'm in charge of people. I tell them to go. They go. I know, Jesus, you're in charge of it all. If you say my servant's healed, he's healed just like that. Jesus heard this, and he was amazed. Turning to the crowd following him, and he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. It's fascinating. You have throughout the scriptures and throughout the gospels, Jesus reacting to what he's seeing in terms of faith in other people. There's one situation where he's go, I cannot believe the lack of faith that is happening here. You walk right up to that 3-foot wall and you will not jump over that 3-foot wall no matter what. No matter how plainly Jesus is making it clear that he's calling you over that wall, you're going, nope, I can't see the other side. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I'm not jumping over the wall. In another place in Scripture, you see a guy saying, man, Jesus, I don't deserve to have you under my roof. And I know that if you say the word, a miracle can happen. And Jesus comes away going, man, that is amazing faith. So a question this morning, what would Jesus think about your faith in your situation? Whatever it is. Whatever is in that like blank line, whatever is in that X spot, like I don't know if it's relationally or it's connected to jobs or family or your own issues. Maybe it's a battle with depression or a battle with an addiction or whatever it is. What's in that spot? What's that 3-foot wall that's keeping you from leaping? And how would Jesus think about your faith? I find that question amazing because it's just a check for me. If I come up to a spot where it's going to take a lot of faith to make some sort of decision, it's a check for me to go, would Jesus be okay with the amount of faith that I'm leaning into here? Or would he kind of look at it and go, what? Like, I created you for so much more than this. Like, I created you to believe in me. I created you to depend on me. I've created you to rely on me. Don't you know that I will give you strength? Don't you know that I will provide? Come on. It's just a 3-foot wall. I created you to jump over it. Stop looking at the 3-foot wall and start looking at me. Maybe think back, what have you tried or attempted, or what are you on the brink of that only God can do? Like, what in your life are you sitting or you're coming up against, and you're sitting at the place where you're either going to leap over the wall or you're not, and it's taking a lot of faith to get there? What are the things in your life that you are at that point of that like only God can do? That you come up to it and you go, I will only be successful if God comes through here. I will only be successful if he catches me on the other side of this wall, because I don't know what's over there. Sometimes I wonder if our prayers, if our thoughts, if our obedience like isn't big enough. You know? Like sometimes if I'm not careful, I can get in the place where I pray small things. Where I pray about the meal, when I pray about being safe, when I pray about like my lawnmower broke down, I need a new lawnmower. There's a place where you kind of get stuck and you tend to start praying about small things. And there's a place where I go, man, I got to lift my eyes and pray for bigger things. I think sometimes God cares about the small things, don't get me wrong, but I wonder if sometimes when we're only praying about small things, do we kind of insult God? And sometimes I think Jesus is just sitting there going, man, don't you have more faith than that, that I can do more? Like, don't you have more faith than that, that I can change and transform and renew this entire community with people following Jesus? Don't you have more faith than that, that I can give you the strength and the power and the tools to overcome this particular addiction in your life, or overcome this particular struggle in your life? Faith and action equals growth. There's two areas that I look at the life of following Jesus that I say, like, Christians can typically stand to grow in. So I want you to kind of hold these two areas up, and I want you to pray about and think about, okay, what area do I need to grow in? And the areas are you healthy, which means are you being transformed by Jesus? And then are you publicly, visibly pursuing, witnessing the kingdom of God here on earth? So are you being transformed by Jesus? And are you publicly, visibly witnessing the kingdom of God here on earth? Being transformed by Jesus, what goes into that? I think all of us could probably pick one area in this category, but when I talk about being transformed by Jesus, I think there's a couple aspects of that. I think there's prayer, and I think there's studying Scripture, and then I think there's community. and being part of a church. So prayer, how is your prayer life? Is your prayer life, like, are you satisfied with your prayer life? Or if you get alone in a one-on-one conversation and someone asks you, how's your prayer life going? And after you get by all the, like, oh, it's okay, it's great, it's okay, it could be better, of course. And after you get all the easy, nice conversation, you really go, man, I really suck at praying right now. Like, I'm terrible at praying. How many people are there? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't want to out yourself. But I think a lot of us would be at that place where we go, man, that's one area that I could really stand to grow in. Because when you pray, you get to focus off of yourself and you get to be let in on, and your focus is on where Jesus is and trying to get to where Jesus is, rather than just always being consumed by ourselves. So if you're sitting there this morning, man, I could really use to amp up my prayer game. I could really focus on that. That is one area that I have little faith in, little action in, little growth in. So I want to just encourage you, start praying. Like, I don't know how it is for you, but maybe you want to set a time each day where you go, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes at lunchtime every day. And you put a reminder in your phone, pray, lunchtime, every day. And that starts to build the habit. That starts to build growth in that area. Maybe it's studying Scripture and you're going, I just need more Scripture. I need to understand this more. I need to get in Scripture. And maybe that's about joining a group or talking to a friend and saying, hey, can we study Scripture together every week? Let's get together and study Scripture. Maybe it's joining a small group, or maybe it's even something as simple as downloading the YouVersion Bible app on your phone and start, find a reading plan that you want to get on and start just reading it. The cool thing about the YouVersion Bible app is it reminds you that you're supposed to read. I find it very helpful just to plug through Scripture that way. Or maybe it's community. Maybe you're sitting around and you feel disconnected. You feel like you have a lack of community. And maybe your first step, your first leap over that 3-foot wall is just simply to show up. We have all sorts of events going on this summer. Maybe it's just to show up. Or maybe it's to make a phone call and start gathering other people. We heard from Anna a couple weeks ago where she said, I was nervous, I was scared, I wanted to throw a block party, I wanted to meet my neighbors, I wanted to start building relationship with them, but I was scared. That was the 3-foot wall. I was nervous to go door to door and hand out invitations. But she reflected on, it was absolutely amazing when she was able to jump over that wall and actually put that faith in action to work. And the comment from the neighbors, I've always wanted to do this. But I was scared of the same things you were, so I never made that first initial step. So is your 3-foot wall in the health, the transformation side of things, with prayer, with studying Scripture, with building community? Is that where your 3-foot wall is, where you're scared to jump over? And then the other place is the missional side of actively, visibly pursuing and witnessing the kingdom of God here on earth. See, here's the thing with Jesus, and this is the place where I think it gets a little harder for Christians, and it tends to push on our comfort zones a little more because it makes us get out of what's comfortable, get out of what's known, get out of what is safe, and go out into the community, into the world. But if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus often hung around with outsiders. Right? Jesus had his people, his disciples that he traveled around with, but you see him engaging and interacting with people all of the time. A lot of times with people that the religious rulers at the time stayed away from for various reasons. But Jesus tended to walk up to them and engage in conversation with them. And that engagement and conversation with him was where the relationship started. And then closely tied to that, Jesus blessed people. You see, Jesus engaging with strangers, engaging with the outsider all of the time, and he's constantly blessing them. We spent 5 weeks on that. You could go and take a listen to that if you're new here this morning, but it's pretty easy to bless people. Like, you listen to them. You just sit down and you listen, you pay attention, you care for them, you eat meals together. You serve other people, and you share your story. And the third thing that Jesus did was he created space for people to dwell and experience God, Jesus. There's kind of two areas there. There's the transformational side that mostly deals with you and your walk with Jesus. But then there's the missional side, which is us getting out of the building throughout the week, actively pursuing, witnessing the kingdom of God here on earth. It's our two jobs as Christians. It's what we're called for. I would argue it's what we are created for. To do those two things, be in relationship with Jesus, be transformed, and go out and renew this world, witnessing the kingdom of God. So I ask you this morning, where's your 3-foot wall stand? And what is Jesus calling you to? I talk to you guys all the time. I know there's a lot of things going on right now in this moment where you're standing there looking at this 3-foot wall. You're going, man, I'm scared. I'm nervous. But I know that Jesus is calling me to the other side of that. So I want to invite you to pray. As the worship team comes up, and just spend a couple minutes praying, asking Jesus, like, where are you calling me to? And then asking Jesus to give you the faith to leap. Maybe it's not leaping, maybe it's just taking a step. Or maybe it's not even taking a step, maybe it's just simply sitting down in the chair. Because Jesus can be trusted. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you. And we praise you. I'm so thankful that you are all powerful, all knowing, that you are loving, that you are filled with grace, that you can transform us, that you provide for us, and that you created us in your image to do the good works that you've set before us. For we are your poetry. We are your workmanship. We are your sons and your daughters. And Jesus, I pray that when we come up against that 3-foot wall, when we come up to that place where we need to grow deeper with you, or we need to be more missional, be out in the community, that whatever that 3-foot wall is, we would take our eyes off the 3-foot wall and onto you. And leap. And know that you will catch us. And know that in that process, That is where discipleship happens. That is where growth happens. That's where we increase our reliance on you. We increase our relationship with you. And that is the place where we love our neighbor. Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.